Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Are you ready to unlock the secrets to staying youthful and vibrant no matter your age? Sharing groundbreaking insights today is Dr. Michael Greger, the mastermind behind the New York Times best-selling How Not to Die series. After analyzing the top peer-reviewed anti-aging research, he found that the key to combating effects of aging is determined by our diet. He's here to share some powerful evidence-based strategies to help you avoid common chronic illnesses and maintain your health as you age. You're going to learn how natural compounds and foods can boost your body's rejuvenation process and fend off the harmful effects of aging. If you want to turn back the sands of time, don't go anywhere. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a founding member and fellow of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. He's not only a physician, but also an internationally acclaimed speaker renowned for his expertise in nutrition. His groundbreaking nonprofit, NutritionFacts.org, serves as a comprehensive online resource offering over 2,000 videos and articles on a wide range of health topics. His credentials include presentations at prestigious forums such as the Conference of World Affairs and the World Bank. He's also testified before Congress and served as an expert witness in Oprah Winfrey's high-profile meat defamation trial. A graduate of Cornell University School of Agriculture and Tufts University School of Medicine, he's a multi-New York Times best-selling author of several groundbreaking books. His latest is called How Not to Age, The Scientific Approach to Getting Healthier as You Get Older. Welcome to the show, Michael Greger.
Happy to be back.
Yeah. Now, in your book, you delve into a wealth of peer-reviewed research on aging. Can you start by explaining what initially sparked your interest in the field and how your findings have reshaped your understanding of aging?
You know, it reminded me a little bit of my last book on weight loss, you know, How Not to Diet. Both the diet and anti-aging industries are these multi-billion dollar behemoths, and with so much money in the mix, the temptation to promote products purporting, you know, all sorts of preposterous claims is apparently irresistible. Even an educated layperson seeking, you know, basic practical advice in either arena, living lighter or longer, is faced with just an inscrutable barrage of pills and potions, or even as a physician with the luxury of wading, you know, neck deep through the peer-reviewed medical literature, and the challenge to tease out facts from farce, but, you know, it makes the endeavor all the more important. If it took me 3 years to sift through all the signs, I'm afraid the casual observer would just have no chance.
So true. And you do such a good job of compiling it and making it accessible to us word nerds that want to find out. And you believe that our diet can regulate so many promising anti-aging strategies, you know, that people, they look for pharmaceuticals for, and we don't want that. We want natural. Can you elaborate on some of the key dietary changes we can make that, you know, is most significant to aging and longevity?
Based on studies of identical twins, only about 25% of the difference in lifespan between people is due to genetics. So for what we can do over the majority of which we may have some control, we can look to the blue zones, these areas of exceptional longevity around the world, where more than 100 dietary surveys suggest that we should center our diets around whole plant foods, so minimizing processed foods, meat, dairy, sugar, eggs, and salt, while maximizing fruits and vegetables, whole grains, legumes like beans, split peas, chickpeas, and lentils, nuts and seeds, mushrooms, herbs, and spices, basically real food that grows out of the ground. These are our healthiest choices.
Great. In your book, you discuss 11 pathways involved in aging. Explain maybe a couple of those pathways and how specific foods can influence them.
Sure. Happy to talk about any in particular. Basically, it's 11 most promising pathways for slowing the sands of time. I end each with practical proposals for targeting them naturally with diet and lifestyle changes. So we're talking about boosting the anti-aging enzymes and hormones like AMPK, FGF21, sirtuin, telomerase, while suppressing the pro-aging enzymes and hormones like mTOR and IGF-1, decreasing glycation, inflammation, oxidation, and senescence while preserving autophagy or telomere, slowing the epigenetic clock. I know these kind of all sound like fancy-sounding scientific terms, but I really do try to break it down into easily understandable, doable, practical takeaways.
Yeah, great. And there's so many myths out there, and I've featured quite a few of them on the show, and misconceptions about anti-aging products and practices. It can get so confusing. Can you debunk maybe a few of these most common ones that explain maybe why they're not as effective as people think?
Whatever you want to talk about, I'm happy to hit any of them.
throw supplements, these anti-aging supplements that you see pop up on your social media and your website that promise the youth any truth to these? Do you see one that from your studies that work?
Oh, well, I mean, I just did a two-hour webinar today on the NAD boosting supplements. There are nine purported NAD boosting supplements, none of which actually do what they say they're going to do, none of which have been shown to have any beneficial effects for human beings. Most of them have associated risks, but there's ways to boost NAD naturally. NAD is a kind of an enzyme cofactor involved in hundreds of different reactions in the body. And we can boost it naturally by boosting the NAD-forming enzyme in our body. We kind of make it from scratch through either aerobic or resistance exercise. And then we can conserve NAD by preventing the overuse by suppressing what's called PARP1, which is an enzyme involved in DNA repair, so we can decrease oxidative damage to our DNA. That'll help, as well as decreasing activity of CD38, which is an enzyme involved in the inflammatory process, so eating an anti-inflammatory diet can help preserve NAD that way. There's some topical things. Topical niacinamide, topical vitamin C has been shown to improve some superficial signs of skin aging. Niacinamide can decrease risk of skin cancer in those in high-risk groups. Vitamin D supplementation is probably important for people getting inadequate sun exposure. Vitamin B12, critically important, regular, reliable source for anyone eating a healthy diet. I'm trying to think of anything else pops up.
Yeah, when you say a healthy diet, what about these carnivore diets that claim that's the healthiest diet? They advocate only meat, no fruit, no vegetables. It's going to control your weight, balance your blood sugar, and you can get more energy throughout the day. What advice can you give someone that's boycotting fruits and veggies and eating like a lion? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's ridiculous.
It's kind of like the carnivore dieters are kind of like the flat earthers of the nutrition world. But unlike all meat diets, believing the earth is flat isn't going to kill anyone, you know. But like anti-vaxxers and climate change deniers, balking at the scientific consensus can sometimes be harmful to your health. You know, you can go to truehealthinitiative.org. True Health Initiative is basically the IPCC of nutrition, started by Dr. David Katz, head of the Prevention Research Center at Yale. Basically gathered hundreds of the top nutrition scientists of the world to agree on a consensus statement. I said, what is the healthiest diet for human beings? Spoiler alert, concluded that we should eat diets mostly composed of minimally processed plant food.
Right. And you bring up flat earthers. I have to say, the only thing that flat earthers have to fear is sphere itself.
That's funny.
Yes. I asked William Shatner, who was on the show, and I said, you're in outer space. Is the earth flat or is it round? I got all these people. He said, it's round. It's not flat. I said, I take it from you. The horse is mine. You were up there. He saw it. So there you have it. Captain Kirk says it's not flat. So talk to us about zombie cells and their role in aging. You mentioned quercetin-rich foods like onions and apples help clear up these cells. And what benefits can we expect from those?
Yeah, cell senescence is one of the aging pathways I talk about. So the accumulation of these so-called zombie cells, it's considered one of the foundational hallmarks of aging. Most of our cells only divide about 50 times before stalling out, at which point they secrete these inflammatory compounds to signal the immune system to wipe them out. Unfortunately, our ability to remove them declines with age, so our tissues become littered with them. Thankfully, we can help prevent premature senescence by averting oxidative DNA damage and potentially help clear them out by eating naturally senolytic compounds in foods such as the quercetin, fisetin, and piperlongamine. So to help slow this aging pathway, I encourage readers to consider on a daily basis consuming quercetin-rich foods, beverages, and seasonings such as apples, onions, kale, tea, salt-free capers, eating fresh and frozen or freeze-dried strawberries, which is the most concentrated source of fisetin, as well as seasoning foods with papale, also known as long pepper, may also help.
Yeah, so hopefully these people with zombie apocalypse cells in their body are listening to this, right? What about pescatarian diet that includes plant foods, but a little bit of fish additional? Is fish off limits for people wanting to live longer?
Well, unfortunately, our oceans have essentially become humanity's sewer. Everything eventually kind of flows into the sea. So, you know, if we had a time machine go back before the Industrial Revolution, that may be one thing. But now the aquatic food chain accumulates the highest levels of chemical pollutants like DDT, PCBs, dioxins. In the U.S., hundreds of thousands of babies are estimated to be born with brain damage every year as a consequence of their mothers consuming mercury-contaminated fish, with the resulting loss of intelligence estimated to cost billions of dollars of lost productivity every year. You know, something like a tuna sandwich would still be better than bologna, but a hummus wrap would be even healthier, as Harvard researchers found that even a 3% swap from fish protein to plant protein was associated with a 6% decreased risk of premature death.
Wow. What about alcohol? I know moderate wine consumption was once endorsed as being heart healthy, and we live longer by doing so. Now it's a no-no. No matter how much you drink, it's toxic. What do you say? Is it toxic in even once a year? No more wine?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter what you and your birthdays, holidays, special occasions. It's the day-to-day stuff that really adds up. You know, everyone agrees that heavy drinking, drinking during pregnancy, and binge drinking are all bad, but there's been this controversy about moderate drinking, in that those who tend to live the longest are not the abstainers, who drink zero alcohol, but those who imbibe a few drinks a week. Unfortunately, this appears to be an artifact of the so-called sick quitter effect, arising from the systemic misclassification of former drinkers as if they were lifelong abstainers. It's the same reason studies can find higher mortality rates among those who quit smoking compared to those who continue to smoke. It's not that abstention led to poor health, but rather poor health led to abstention. That's the sick quitter. So you could be non-drinker since last Tuesday, and why are you not drinking? Because you got liver cirrhosis or something, making moderate drinkers look better in comparison. So according to the Global Burden of Disease Study, the largest systematic analysis of risk factors in human history, according to the World Health Organization, the World Heart Federation, the safest level of drinking is none. Grapes, barley, and potatoes best eaten in their non-distilled form, and Johnny Walker is no substitute for actual walking.
Johnny Walker, skip the walk, Walker, and go walking. I love it. Let me ask you about another controversial topic, and of course on the show we hear it's good, it's bad, is coffee. Some experts say prevents and cures disease, others say causes disease. Where do you stand on the morning java when it comes to longevity and living our longest?
My chapter is on liver disease, depression, and Parkinson's, and how not to die. I discuss the benefits of coffee for the liver, mind, and brain. Coffee drinkers do seem to live longer, have lower cancer rates overall, probably because the primary antioxidant, coffee, chlorogenic acid, is an autophagy booster. It helps our cells kind of take out the trash. But coffee is not for everyone, can worsen acid reflux disease, bone loss, and glaucoma. Otherwise, coffee is good for you, though every cup of coffee is a lost opportunity to drink something even healthier, a cup of green tea.
Yeah, so green tea is the way. You mentioned that word autophagy. We've had a lot of that on the show. It's a fascinating topic. How can certain foods contribute to that process, and what impact does it have on overall health? A lot of people think they've got to do, you know, the starvation or pop in the carnivore. What do you say?
Yeah, well, autophagy is considered kind of the primary system for cleaning the body from the inside out. Clearing away accumulated cellular debris that may contribute to the aging process. There's some food components that suppress autophagy, which is what we want to avoid, like acrylamide, which is concentrated in potato chips and french fries, whereas others, like spermidine and the antioxidants in coffee, can help our cells take out the trash. So, to help boost this anti-aging pathway, I encourage 60 minutes of moderate to vigorous aerobic activity a day, which has been shown to boost autophagy. Minimizing your intake of french fries and potato chips, trying to consume at least 20 milligrams of spermidine a day by incorporating foods such as tempeh, mushrooms, peas, and wheat germ into your diet, as well as drinking 3 cups a day of regular or decaf coffee.
Good point. And I have to ask you, because one of my favorite go-tos for breakfast is steel-cut oatmeal. We had an expert on last week. It's a no-no. He says, oats are for goats, not humans. It's not healthy. What's your views?
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
Is it good or bad? There's my goat impression.
That's funny. what kind of numbskulls do you have on this?
I've been hearing it. These are top renowned, number one New York Times bestsellers.
What do you mean New York Times bestseller? What does that tell you about anything other than they, you know, giving people good news about their bad habits? I don't know. Everyone wants to be told to, you know, put butter on their bacon or something. But what does the science show? Science is very clear that oats are probably the most anti-inflammatory grain. They're packed with soluble fiber, reduces LDL cholesterol, primary risk factor for the number one killer heart disease, number one killer both men and women. I mean, what else do you need?
So thumbs up for the oats. Do you like the steel cut or the processed?
Well, so ideally you'd eat oat groats, they exist before they're cut 2 or 3 times into steel cut oats, yeah. So they're uncut steel cut.
All right. So my grandma was right. She told me to eat oatmeal for breakfast. It was healthy, good for the heart, and I'd live longer. And you know what? And then I hear all these experts like, I hope my grandma was right. And yes, you just proved her right. I love that. In your book, you mentioned anti-aging solutions that won't break the bank. I know it's tough now with cost and inflation. Share some, maybe some cost-effective tips for maintaining youthfulness and health that won't strain our wallets.
Well, healthiest foods are some of the cheapest foods. Dried beans, apples, cabbage, frozen fruits and vegetables. You can actually save a lot of money by, you know, eating healthier. And then, you know, a lot of these kind of, you can make kind of DIY solutions of some of these anti-aging topical skin treatments, like topical vitamin C, you know, 3 grams to 30 grams of water costs you about a nickel per ounce, whereas sold for over $120 an ounce. So topical niacinamide is like $270 an ounce. And you can, again, you make it your own at like a 5,000% discount by mixing 1.4 grams into an ounce of your favorite facial cream and put like, you know, a pea-sized amount on each side of your face once a day. So yeah, I give like recipes like that in the book because people are just trying to gouge you. And, you know, these ingredients really aren't that expensive.
Yeah. What about one big topic before we call it quits today, which is sleeping? Is that something that you found that people that sleep less, they age worse if they don't get sleep?
Well, yeah. Actually, the relationship between sleep and longevity is uncertain. Turns out people that sleep longer actually have shorter lives than those that don't get enough sleep. But there's all sorts of confounding factors. But seriously, inadequate sleep can impair one's immunity, you know, make it not safe to drive. So, I encourage people to get 7 to 8 hours sleep for adults 65 and older. And I talk about, you know, optimal sleep hygiene and conditioning and warm shower, foot body baths before bedtime, warm socks at night, help with sleep, all sorts of ways you can do it. But yeah, I wouldn't do it to live longer because we're just not sure that's the case.
You're not. Okay. So if someone who gets 5-6 hours a night and they say, that's what I get and that's all I need, is that okay? Or really they should sit there for an extra hour or two?
It's unclear whether that's going to increase, decrease, or do nothing for one's lifespan.
Interesting. Yeah. Last thing, what's some exciting developments on the horizon with the field of anti-aging and nutrition? Anything get you excited?
Oh my God, probably the most exciting thing. It didn't make it in the book because it just came out in June, which was Dr. Dean Orange's study trying to reverse early stage Alzheimer's with a plant-based diet and lifestyle program. I mean, how exciting is that?
That's exciting.
40% of those randomized to the plant-based diet and lifestyle group actually experienced a reversal, meaning they got greater cognition and function 6 months later than they had at the beginning, and the more they complied, the better they did. I mean, that's super exciting. You know, we have these terrible, expensive drugs that are not very effective and have serious side effects like swelling or bleeding of the brain in 1 in 3 users. So you can spend $56,000 a year to bleed inside your brain, or you can eat healthy food.
So when you say move, that probably says get off your butt and stop playing on the internet and computer and walk. Is that something that you see for longevity?
Well, you can play on the internet as long as you're doing it on your phone and you're walking the same.
There you go. That's interesting. Yeah.
Just don't walk in the traffic.
That's fine. And don't walk while you're drinking Johnny Walker. There you go.
Exactly.
I love that one.
Exactly.
Fascinating. Well, 1 minute left. You got anything else you want to share? Any takeaways about how not to age with the listeners we haven't covered?
Well, look, the important thing is the good news. We have tremendous power over our health, destiny, and longevity, and that the vast majority of premature death and disability is preventable with a healthy enough diet and lifestyle.
Fantastic. Well said. That was quick and to the point. Great soundbite. Always a pleasure having you on the show. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to share this enlightening and age-defying information.
Anytime. Keep up the great work.
For those of you that like to get a copy of this, I highly recommend it. It's How Not to Age, the Scientific Approach to Getting Healthier as You Get Older. You can get your copy at nutritionfacts.org. And while there, be sure and explore the array of free resources available, including videos, articles, recipes, and more. You can follow Dr. Greger on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at nutritionfacts.org. And you can follow me on Facebook at Dr. David Friedman. On Instagram, I'm at Dr. D. Friedman. If you heard Dr. Greger, share something today that somebody you know needs to hear. Send them a link to this podcast. podcast. It's available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com and radiomd.com. And while there, peruse our podcast library and share these segments of interest with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. I always say sharing is caring. This information is too important. Don't keep it to yourself. You can also subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. More to come. Stay tuned and age well.